Financial Services Group, Alexander Forbes, released their annual results today. For the 12 months ended March 2019, the company reported that operating income rose by 6% to just over 3.8 billion rand. Operating income from their investments division rose by 7%, consulting and retirements by 6%, and the wealth and investments division up 4%. Profit from continuing operations declined by 19% to 678 million rand, while normalized headline earnings per share declined by 14% to 45 cents. Shareholders are set to get a final dividend of 12 cents a share, which takes the year's total dividend to 30 cents per share per year, for the year, pardon me. On top of that, shareholders are being given a special dividend of 30 cents a share. The company is hopeful that a new strategy will help improve its fortunes going forward. To take us through the numbers and the direction of the company, I'm joined on the line by Davi de Villiers. He's the CEO at Alexander Forbes. Thanks very much for joining us, Davi. The numbers I've outlined show the business. Thank you. The numbers I've outlined show that the business has lost a bit of ground. Just take us through the main operational challenges that you've encountered in the year under review.
Yeah, the main reason for the decline in the profits is the increase in expenses. Our total expenses increased by about 13% across the business. And as you said, a little bit more in the continuing business, but if we look at the total business, and a big part of those expenses was once-off that we incurred during the year. We talked about the impairment of the IT systems at the half-year results, which had a 50 million once-off impact on the expenses, and then there was quite a number of other once-off expenses in there as well. And the other part of it is we had to invest a bit in the business as well, specifically in the people, getting some of the people back, staffing up where we had the vacancies, and also a little bit in the IT system. So there's quite a bit of investment in those expenses as well.
Yeah. So in your investments division, you talk about your assets under management falling by about 4%. I suppose it speaks to the kind of financial markets environment that we're in currently.
Yes, definitely. We've seen a negative 8.5% return on the JSE during the calendar year last year. Certainly had an impact on our values. And that's actually a big driver. The asset-based fees is over half of our revenue drivers as well. So it does have quite a big impact on our business if the markets don't perform. So we're hoping for that to come back.
Mm. So you have a new strategy. Part of that new strategy is to withdraw from, you know, the rest of Africa markets that you consider to be subscale. You mentioned that these include Uganda and Zambia. Just tell us about that and where in Africa you'll be remaining and what your Arrive platform is, where, you know, the platform that you're going to be using, where you still are in the rest of the continent.
Yes, I think we see Africa as a massive growth area and a big opportunity going forward still, but not to have invested in businesses in country. We believe that our Arrive strategy is an advice-led strategy where we'll look after multinationals throughout South Africa, but also in Europe, clients of Mercer, which is our strategic partner in this drive, so that we can look after them where they operate in Africa. And then we can operate throughout the whole of Africa, not just in the 3 or 6 countries that we had a presence. We'll look after the employees throughout that region where they are and find benefits for them and solutions for their employees. Mm. So it's actually a much more encompassing solution, much more in line with what we do, and we don't have to have an in-country presence for that. So, we will continue to have an in-country presence in Botswana and Namibia. Those are two big stalwarts in our camp, and we'll continue there.
Right.
Where we have sustainable businesses, yes.
Also, as part of your new strategy, you've decided to get out of the insurance business. Was the insurance business not making money, or it was just a distraction to what you see as your core business?
Yeah, that's actually a threefold answer. The first being it's very capital intensive, the insurance businesses, the underwriting businesses, and we really want to be a capital light business to make sure that we drive our return on capital. Secondly, if you are in insurance businesses, you're actually manufacturing product. and we want to be client-centric and really advice-led. If you then go to a client and you're selling products to them, then they don't trust your advice necessarily to be the best of breed. So that's the other point. And then the third point is, I think our insurance businesses, where they are now, they actually did very well. It was the top performers in the calendar year, contributing pretty well to the bottom line.
Yes.
But to be sustainable going forward, we would have had to invest quite a bit of money from here on in. And we believe that a new buyer can actually get much more out of the business from here on than we could into the future.
So do you have a number of suitors, that is buyers, and no doubt based on what you say about the quality of the business right now, you're expecting to get a pretty penny for it?
Yeah, I think we started the process a few months ago. We're very far down the line. We had a massive interest from the market, which speaks to the quality of the company, but also to the value of the asset for someone else who wants to pair it with their asset. And the big insurance companies all were interested. We've got a shortlist, and we should hopefully conclude the transaction, and subject to regulatory approval, hopefully by the end of July already.
Mm. Davi, you say that you guys want to be more of a consulting and advice service, more client-centric, with an integrated offering, and of course digital technology comes into that. Given the negative past that you've had in terms of, you know, that IT modernization system that didn't work out and you had to make massive write-offs, what does that mean going forward when you want this integrated type of approach? Are you going to ultimately have to invest further in digital technology or not really?
Yes, I think we, maybe I must start with saying our base systems that our employee benefits administration is built on, for instance, is wonderful systems, and it works pretty well. But to make it more engaging for clients, we'll have to interface it with digital interfaces so that we have a much better engagement model with clients. We can also make the system in parts more efficient, which doesn't mean replacing the system, which just means that we import some technology in certain areas which makes it more efficient. And we think we can get huge strides forward by doing small things on a regular basis. So it won't be a reinventing of the system, but certainly tweaking of the system going forward to enable us to have that digital interface with our clients.
All right, Davi, thank you very much for your time, sir, and all the best. That was Davi de Villiers. He's the CEO at Alexander Forbes.